Let's read this morning a portion of Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. We'll begin reading at verse 16. This is the record of Paul's sermon in Athens on Mars Hill. We read this in connection with the fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," especially because of what Paul says concerning God. He witnesses concerning God and declares Him as the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. That's part of the truth concerning the fourth petition. Let's read this morning then God's Word at Acts 17, beginning at verse 16. "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.' And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean.' For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something, some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath, and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your poets have said, For we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto Him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." We read the inspired Word of God that far. It's on the basis of that passage of God's Word and in accordance with all of the Scriptures that we have the instruction of the Catechism in Lord's Day 50. Lord's Day 50, question and answer 125. The question is this: which is the fourth petition? The answer, "Give us this day our daily bread," that is, "Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the reality of how the devil works is that He will use absolutely everything at His disposal to bring us down spiritually and to drive us apart from God and to drive us apart from one another. And the devil is crafty enough to realize that one of the things that does that oftentimes better than anything else is money and earthly possessions, and particularly as those two things are related to the future. The devil says to himself, if I can get these people to fixate themselves on money and what they have of this earth, then I put them on a path that eventually will lead them apart from one another and apart from God. And it really doesn't even matter if you are rich or if you are poor. The devil says, if I can get that rich man to zone in completely on all of his possessions, reveling in the things that he has, the result of that is that very far from their minds will be God. And he says, if I can get that poor man to only focus on what he does not have, the result may be anger, bitterness towards God who led him in that place. Apart from especially hurtful sins against one another, the one thing in this life that can cause us to drive ourselves apart from one another, cause marriages to struggle, is money and our perspective of what we have in terms of the things of this earth. And therefore we see the need, we'll get to other needs, but we see the need right at the outset of a sermon on the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, because this petition of the Lord's Prayer is exactly what God uses to give us the right perspective day in and day out concerning the things of this earth, and particularly the things of this earth as it relates to the future. The importance of the sermon this morning is that when we pray and when we believe and when we live according to the truth of the fourth petition, what we are doing is nothing other than wielding the sword of the Spirit and destroying the devil who tries to use those things to bring us down the wrong path against God and apart from one another. We would be lying to ourselves if we did not say that our money and our earthly possessions was not a source of stress, was not a source of potential conflict with one another. We would be lying to ourselves if we did not say that we need to hear and be reminded again of the teaching of the Word of God concerning the possessions that He gives us and what our attitude must be towards them. We begin this morning then the second section of the Lord's Prayer. The first section of the Lord's Prayer deals specifically with petitions that have to do with God. We learned already in our consideration of the Lord's Prayer to pray that God's name would be hallowed. We learned already to pray that God's kingdom would come. We learned already to pray that God's will would be done. And now we get to the second section of the Lord's Prayer, the petitions that deal specifically with us. We will learn next week and the following to pray with respect to us for the forgiveness of our sins. We will learn to pray that God would keep us from evil and from temptation. But this morning, with respect to our needs specifically, we learn to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Let's notice in the first place regarding that theme the necessity of making this prayer. Let's notice in the second place the meaning of the petition itself, and then in the third place the great blessing that it is to pray and then to live according to the truth of this petition. Praying for our daily bread, the necessity, the meaning, and the blessing. There's a certain necessity of praying this petition of the Lord's Prayer. That's true with all of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, particularly the second half of the Lord's Prayer. There's things that stand behind our going to God and praying these petitions. For example, we need to pray for the forgiveness of sins because, as we all know, we stand before God as guilty, as damn worthy sinners, and therefore all our life long we need to go to Him and ask for forgiveness. We need to pray that God would keep us from temptation, exactly because though we are forgiven, we still have sinful natures that long for the ways of sin. And it's no different with this petition. There's something that stands behind it that makes praying this petition absolutely necessary. We're going to look at that necessity from two different points of view. On the one hand, there is a necessity of this petition that has to do with who we are as creatures on this earth, as those that have needs on this earth. And then after that, we're going to look at the necessity of this petition from the fact that there are certain things in us spiritually that militate against the truth of this petition and living according to the truth of this petition. And those things within us make it all the more necessary always to pray this way. Let's begin, though, with seeing that there's something that has to do with the way that we are created that makes this necessary. And to do that, we have to go to the very beginning. And when we go to the very beginning, we see how God created man. And that's Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The point of that is when God created man, He created man out of the dust of this earth, from this earth. There is, as we all know, a physical dimension to each one of us. And then from what we read in Acts chapter 17, God created man at the beginning, and from him all men have come throughout all of history. But the fact that God made us of this earth means that we have certain needs. In order for us to live on this earth, certain things need to be cared for. And that's what Jesus taught us to pray in this petition. There have been some that have tried to spiritualize the meaning of this fourth petition. That's not true. Jesus recognizes the fact that we are of this earth, earthy, and therefore for our existence on this earth, we need certain things. We lose sight of how integral that is in our lives, how that is such an integral part of our lives, the care of our physical needs. We lose sight of that because we live in a society and an area of the world where our physical needs are met on a daily basis. If we were in a third world country, we would understand this all the better when every single day you would wake up and you would wonder, are my physical needs going to be met for this day? We don't have that. But the reality is that this is a huge part of our lives. A reality that we cannot escape every single day we live our lives here on this earth. And because it's such an important part of our lives, Jesus says you need to view that in the right way. And I'm going to teach you how to view that in the right way. You need to pray this petition of the Lord's Prayer. All it takes is really to think about it. To consciously think about how much of our lives deals with caring for our physical needs. In that respect, we can be thankful for the practice that is ours, a practice that follows a New Testament example to pray before we eat. And at least during mealtime, when we go to God in prayer, and typically what we do when we pray to God before our meals is to thank God for this food. At the very least, when we eat our meals, we have this truth set before us that we need food and bread, food and drink, and therefore we give God thanks for providing that. But that's only one sliver of the reality of caring for our physical needs. There's a reason Jesus says bread, because that's the most basic necessity. But how many times throughout the day, apart from our meal times, do we put food and drink in our mouths without even thinking that this is what we need for our physical existence here on this earth? How many times in the middle of winter do we drive into our garages realizing this is an aspect of our physical need here on this earth, protection from the cold? How many times do we go in the grocery store to buy our food without thinking that I'm doing this because I need to do this for my existence here on this earth? Every time you go to the store to buy clothes, every time you go to the doctor's office, every time you go to the pharmacy to get medicine, all of it is under that broad category of God caring for our physical lives here on this earth. We need to be cared for. And because of who we are as creatures of this earth, Jesus taught us, this is how you must view it. Give us this day our daily bread. That's one aspect that stands behind the necessity of making this petition. But there's a whole other realm that stands behind this as well, because the reality is that we are not just physical, but we are spiritual and rational. And when it comes to our spiritual lives, though we are forgiven, we still have sinful natures. And there are still things true of our sinful hearts that really militate against the truth of this petition. We're covetous. We're discontent. We worry. And we're proud. And all of those, as we will see in a moment, go right against what Jesus teaches us to pray in this petition. And therefore, the more we pray this petition, the more we strive to live according to the truth of this petition, we fight those characteristics that to one degree or another are true of every one of us. In the first place, we're covetous. Coveting has to do especially with looking at what others have and saying, I want that. Jesus in this petition says, look at your daily bread. Look at what God has given you for this day. But how often do we walk around and instead of just focusing on what God has given us, we look at everything else everyone else has and say, I want that. In fact, I wish they didn't have it, but I myself had it. And especially in a culture that is permeated with stuff and the accumulation of things, when newer and better is always coming out, it's not just children and it's not just young people, but it's all of us that have covetous hearts that long for the things that God has not been pleased to give us this day. In the second place, we're discontent. And obviously that's the opposite side of the coin. Coveting is looking at what others have and say, I want that. Being discontent is looking at what God has given us for this day and saying, I'm not satisfied with it. Though God has been pleased to give me this at this time, it's not good enough. I wish I had more. And often that spirit of discontentment is what leads to the spirit of coveting and looking at what others have. But that spirit of being discontent flies in the face of everything Jesus teaches in the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. In the third place, we're anxious worriers. Jesus says, as we will see, don't think about what God will give you next week or next year or 10 years from now. Pray for God to provide your needs for this day. But yet how often do we only think about the future? And how often do we think about that future and worry and be anxious about what will take place in the future. We worry that at the end of the month there's not going to be enough money in the checking account to cover the bills. We worry that when our children come to school aged, the money is not going to be there to pay the tuition. We worry even more long term that when I retire, when I'm no longer able to work, that there's going to be enough at that time to provide until the Lord takes me. We worry that though we are okay right now, you never know when something major happens that becomes a financial stress. The car breaks down or a major medical expense that's going to put us over the top. We worry by nature. We're anxious. And that's why I said in the introduction that when the devil tries to use these things against us, it's not just money and it's not just physical possessions. It's those two as they relate to the future. And that spirit of anxious worrying goes against what Jesus teaches us in this petition. And then in the last place, we're proud by nature. When it comes down to it, the fourth petition teaches us to trust in God. But every ounce of our being by nature says, I can do it. I can do it. I don't need anybody else's help. I'll find a way to make sure my needs are met. And the reality is that at times that proud spirit, which does not avail itself to the means God uses to provide our daily bread, can lead us and lead our family in spiritually detrimental places. We need to hear, therefore, this petition of the Lord's Prayer. I start the sermon this way so that all of us this morning will be impressed all the more with the importance of what Jesus teaches us in this petition of the Lord's Prayer. I think this is one of those petitions where we can say it at the beginning of a meal. Either you can say the actual words of the petition or you pray a prayer that revolves around these things. But then after the meal is done, you brush it aside and you don't even think about it. And you don't even think about how all of those characteristics that I just talked about goes against the reality of what Jesus teaches us in this petition. That before the meal, we can pray fervently, honestly, sincerely, give us this day our daily bread. Then we spend the evening with other people and covet what they have. Or we walk around our own house discontent with what we have. Or you spend the night after making that prayer in front of the computer screen with your husband or your wife, looking at the numbers with stress and anxiety pouring into your heart and soul as you think about that in terms of the future. Or you can do something out of pride in that very same evening having to do with these matters. To one degree or another, at times in our lives, those things are true of us. And therefore, we need to pray this. We need to hear what God teaches us in this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. The meaning of the fourth petition, the bare bones meaning of the fourth petition, revolves around three things. When you just look at the words itself, give us this day our daily bread. And all of that is summarized in the beginning of the answer of the catechism. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. That's just the bare bones meaning of what Jesus teaches us. We'll get on and see that there is significance and meaning beyond that, implied in that. But there are especially three things that Jesus teaches us just with the petition itself. In the first place, Jesus is teaching us to pray for our physical needs. Obviously, that's been implied so far in the sermon, that that's what we're dealing with. Jesus recognizes, as we said already, that we have needs of this earth. And when He says, give us this day our daily bread, that bread stands as a picture of the physical needs that we have here on this earth. It's the basic necessity. It represents all of the needs that we have physically on this earth. So that in the first place, Jesus teaches us to pray regarding our physical needs. In the second place, Jesus teaches us to pray in this petition for our necessary physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Literally, bread that is necessary for me. In other words, Jesus is not teaching us to pray for luxury. He's not teaching us to pray that God would give us above and beyond what we need when it comes to the things of this earth. He simply says that which is necessary. That's summarized nicely in that well-known passage from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 30, verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. That proverb hits the nail on the head. That's what we're asking for. Not poverty, not riches, the necessities of our lives here on this earth. And that's where we need to pray for wisdom. And that's where we need to realize that we must not get sucked into thinking that certain things are necessities when in reality they are simply wants and simply luxuries. And that certainly is a temptation for us in the affluent society in which we live. The standard of living is such that we can be led down a path to think that what is a necessity, in reality, is very simply a want or a luxury. And that's something that as parents, we constantly need to be teaching our children. Children think they know what they need. As parents, we need to always be teaching them. And really, you teach them by restraining what they have. It's not a need. Simply a want. And that's true for all of us. And we need wisdom to recognize that. Wisdom to be able to pray this petition in the right way, knowing that we're praying simply for what we need here on this earth. So in the first place, for physical necessities. In the second place, for necessary physical necessities. And then in the third place, it's a prayer for physical necessities for this day only. Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. He says, don't pray that you'll have even just your physical necessities for tomorrow or next week. Simply pray that He provides for this day. So that's the meaning of the words of the petition itself. But as the Catechism makes clear, there's more to it than that. And we need to see that this morning, especially two truths that go right along with the words of this petition. In the first place, that we may acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, the meaning of that is we are saying that God is the only fountain of all good. And that's why we read this morning Acts chapter 17, because what Paul does when he declares to the Athenians the God of all things, he starts with saying this: God is the one who created everything. God is the one who sustains everything. He says in verse 25, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. He gives to all life, breath, and then all things that are needed here on this earth. And then He says in verse 28, for in Him we live and we move and we have our being. The important word that I'm going to pull out from that phrase in the Catechism is only. We're acknowledging God to be the fountain of all good, the fountain of all the things that He sends us that takes care of our needs here on this earth. He's the fountain. It all flows from them. He's the source of everything that we need here on this earth. He's the only fountain of all good. And that's what Paul teaches in Acts chapter 17. There's one God, and there's one Creator, and there's one Sustainer of absolutely everything. We need to be reminded of that because we are not programmed to think that way. We're programmed to think this way. I am the fountain of my own good. I am the source of all of the things that I need for my life here on this earth. Instead of this way, God is the only fountain of all good. We're programmed to think that way because it's not the case that we're sitting around in our homes and magically, in quotation marks obviously, things just appear in our house and the food is there. And without us doing anything, the money in the bank account goes up so that we can pay the bills. And we're forced to acknowledge that's straight from God. Of course, He's the fountain of all good. It's straight from Him. If that was the way things worked, we would be more inclined to say and believe this phrase of the Catechism, but that's not how it works. We're programmed to think differently because the reality is that I am the one who went to work this week. I am the one that put the hours in. I am the one that every other week gets a check. I am the one that puts that money in the bank account. I am the one that writes the checks. I am the one that takes care of the needs of this earth. And what this petition of the Lord's Prayer does is flip that upside down and say, no. When you pray, give us this day our daily bread, you are acknowledging God is the source of absolutely everything. Of course He is. And though our sinful nature is to look to ourselves, Jesus, through this petition, reminds us, don't look to yourself. In the end, you must see who stands behind that. And we know that to be the case. Who is the one that gave you the intellectual abilities or the physical abilities to go to work every day? God. Who is the one that in His providence ordained all things so that there would be an opening in that position at that company that you can fill? God. Who is the one that ordained all of the economics of this world so that with respect to the company that you are at, there is work and there is money to be made? God. Who is the one that puts you in a church that has a diaconate that loves the Lord Jesus Christ and loves to help those in need? God. Who is the one that works in you in such a way that says, I need to go to them for help? God, you get the point. Everything, even the end, gets traced back to the only fountain of all good, God. And what I just described there brings up a very important point we always need to remember, and that is that God uses means to provide us with the daily bread. I mentioned a few of those in that list that I just gave. There is, of course, the means of work, the main means God uses to provide our daily bread. Proverbs says, he who does not work does not eat. And that's literal. God calls us to work if we are able. If the work is out there to be found, if physically we are able to do it. That's what God uses to provide for our daily bread. But in the end, as those questions indicated, it goes back to God. God uses the means of a church, a diaconate, the mercies of Christ, fellow believers, families, that can help one another. But in the end, it goes back to God. When we pray this petition, we acknowledge Him to be the only fountain of all good. There's more to it, though. And that's what the Catechism draws our attention to. The second aspect is this, that neither our care nor industry, those means that He uses, nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing. When we pray this petition, we are asking God to bless us in what He gives to us. Acts chapter 17, by what Paul says, makes it very clear that God gives all things to all men. He's the source of the physical possessions that every single person has here on this earth. It's not the case that you draw a distinction. Here's the reprobate in the world, and the things that they have, they come from the devil. And here's the believers in the world, the elect, and what they have, that comes from God. No, Acts 17 says, all men live and move and have their being in God. And so we're not just praying that God care for our physical needs, and we're not just praying to acknowledge Him as the source of what we have. We need something else. It's imperative that we pray that God give us those things with His blessing. Because when He gives those things to the unbelieving world, it does not go with the attitude of His favor. It goes with the attitude of His condemnation. So that they have those things, and all those things do is harden them in their sin and drive them farther and farther away from God. We're praying to God, may that not be the case for us. So that with all of those things that we have, they lead us down the paths of sin. We're saying, God, bless us in what Thou hast given us. So that everything we have, whether it be much or whether it be little, it comes with Thy favor. And therefore we can use those things to His glory and to the honor of His name. And that right there is the dagger that you thrust into the devil in light of what we brought up in the introduction. Everything the devil does when it comes to money and our possessions is leading us down that path so that we use all of those things to drive wedges in between us as Christians and to bring us farther and far away from God. This is our prayer to combat that. That God would send these things to us with His blessing so that we are not led, whether we have riches, to revel in these things with God far away from us. And we are not led, whether we have very little, to become angry and bitter towards God. But with His blessing, we are led to say what Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'd like to make one more point in connection with the meaning of this petition. And that is that everything we've talked about regarding praying for our necessities daily does not go against and does not contradict thinking at all about the future, planning for the future, having an eye on the future as it relates to the things of this earth. God still calls us to be wise. God still calls us to be good stewards of that which He has given us. And part of being wise and part of being good stewards is exactly that. Planning. It's not the case that we look at the fourth petition and say, Jesus simply taught us to pray for our daily bread, and therefore I'm going to do whatever I want today and be very foolish with my money because tomorrow I just have to make the same prayer that He provided for me this day. No. It may be the case that the way God provides for you tomorrow is through your careful planning and wisdom today. All of that does not contradict the truth of this petition. It's good to plan, especially for young couples really for all of us, to budget regularly, to know where our money is, to know how we are spending our money, to make sure we are very careful in the way that we are doing that. But here's what it comes down to. That's wisdom. That's good stewardship. But where is your trust? The truth of the fourth petition still rings true. Day by day, you trust in God. You don't trust in that plan, although that is wise. That's not your trust, the budget sheet and the expected income. This is our trust, day by day, that God will provide. And that's the conclusion to which we come. When we pray this petition in the way that God taught us to pray it, with everything that's wrapped up in it, as we have saw today, the blessing is exactly that. The blessing is that we trust in God. The end of the catechism says that. After laying out the literal meaning of the words, then those two implications, it comes to the end and it says, "And therefore." And that's what that word "therefore" is. The conclusion to everything that we said already. "Therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee." And beloved, we have every reason to do that. This is the God in whom we are putting our trust. It's the God that not only promises to give us exactly what we need with respect to this earth, but it's the God that has given us the one and only thing that we really need in our lives here on this earth. It's the God that's given us Jesus. It's the God that's loved us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need food. We don't need bread. We don't need a car. And we don't need a house in the winter and in the summer. What we need is Jesus. What we need is the forgiveness of our sins. That's the answer to the real issue in our lives. And that's the God in whom we place our trust, the God that has saved us in Jesus Christ. And look, if God does that and gives us everything we truly need, which is Jesus, we can trust that He has the greatest concern for us. If He saved us in Christ, He will care for us in our lives here on this earth. If He saved us in Christ, He knows exactly what we need for our lives here on this earth. He'll give us, whether it be much, whether it be little, what we stand in need of. When you contemplate and remember the God that we are dealing with, the God that loves us in Christ, we trust in Him for absolutely everything. We trust in Him when it comes to the things of this earth. And beloved, it's exactly that which is the blessed life. It's a blessing to go forth in this life with respect to these things, trusting in God. And the blessed life is the happy life, the joyful life, the peaceful life. Because confident trusting in God is the antidote to all of those things, all of those sinful characteristics that make life very, very difficult here on this earth. Confident trusting in God is the antidote to coveting everything that you see in this world. Confident trusting in God for this day is the antidote to being discontent with what God has given us. Confident trusting in God is the answer to all of the anxiety that goes along with these things. Confident trusting in God is the answer to the pride that is in our hearts. Pray this petition, beloved. Pray it understanding what it means that God would provide us with all things that we need for the body. That in praying this, we would acknowledge God to be the source of all things. That in praying this, we would ask for God's blessing in what He has given us. And do that to this end, that every single day when it comes to the things of the soul, but also when it comes to the things of the body. We don't trust ourselves, but confidently place our trust in this God, the God of our salvation. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for this word that we could hear, a word that acknowledges Thee to be the sovereign God of all things, and the word that confesses that Thou art the one who will provide us with all things necessary for body. Lord, help us to trust in Thee. Help us to fight those sinful attitudes that go against what Jesus teaches us in this petition. And may we live our lives at peace, knowing that Thou dost use and lead all things for our good and salvation. We ask these things with the forgiveness of our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.